Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante, in today with Greg Pickle. How you doing, Greg?
Hello, Jim. I am doing great. Another week in the books here. We're almost into May, and there's still plenty of Penn State football news to talk about, so we will take it.
Yes, there is, and with approaching May, we talked about it off the air. We even got our golf courses opening up here in Pennsylvania in the next couple days, so it's a good week, right?
No complaints here, Jim. I don't know if I'll make it out to the course this weekend, but I'm certain that I will before long. I was thinking about it, that as much as I love golf, I think part of the reason I love golf is that I can have a cart and don't have to walk, and I can gather with friends and not just have to be with one person possibly or by myself. So we'll see how long it takes me to get out to the course, but I know a lot of people are eager to do so, and I can promise most of you will be able to drive the ball straighter and further than I can and putt better. So I look forward to hearing all the stories from our listeners who get out on the course.
But who's going to have more fun, you or them?
It depends on what they allow us to do, Jim.
Okay, I'll leave it at that. On today's schedule, we got in quarter number one, we're going to go over the news. Quarter number two, as always with you, Greg, I want to hear about recruiting. Quarter number three, we'll do another look back at the NFL draft and the Penn Staters there, and maybe we'll touch on a few other things. And finally, quarter number four, it's Ask Greg time. All right. I'll tell you, the biggest thing in the news this week is another one of the assistant coaches meeting with the media. Phil Troutwine, offensive line coach, had a press conference on Tuesday morning, went over a lot of the players. I think he hit on just about everybody on the two deep. What's your biggest takeaway from that press conference, Greg?
Yeah, I thought that it was interesting, kind of just how he went down the list of guys, Jim, and really sort of gave the indication that there's more of these guys ready to play than you would think, which makes me wonder if he's not going to do the same thing Matt Limegrover did, which, of course, is play more than the five starting offensive linemen at any given time. And, you know, this is a position group that maybe hasn't played as well as everybody would have liked it to, Jim, but it's also been recruited very well. And that means there's some really talented players waiting in the wings. So I think a lot of us wondered if Will Fries might be overtaken by Caden Wallace or by Des Holmes for the right tackle job. Based on the spring depth chart Penn State put out, that does not appear to be the case. Of course, we'll have to wait and see how things shake out after they ever get back for spring drills or modified summer drills or whatever it ends up being. But I just don't know if Phil Troutwine wants to play, you know, six or seven guys routinely. He seems more to me like a guy who wants to plug five out there and be done with it, which makes the competition there fascinating. I'm not saying he won't try and get some of the backups in, but I just don't know if it's going to be as prevalent as it was under Matt Limegrover. So we'll see. But obviously he thinks the guys are all progressing pretty well, which I guess you kind of take with a grain of salt. You know, not everyone is progressing at the same level, I wouldn't think. But at the same time, he's not going to sit there and tell us that in the middle of a time when they can't compete and can't practice. So we'll see how everything shakes out.
In listening to these press conferences, you've got to do a little interpreting and a little reading between the lines. You know, they're not going to badmouth any of their players, so forget that. That's not going to happen. What you kind of look for is them being complimentary or extra complimentary of players, I think, to kind of indicate which way they're leaning sometimes. I thought it was interesting, and I believe it was your question, was about Caden Wallace. And my takeaway, he talked so much about the versatility of all the players, and specifically with Caden Wallace, the ability to play both tackle and guard. And it sounded like he named him the sixth man, the first man off the bench. Was that a correct takeaway?
Yeah, that's exactly how I saw it as well. I mean, he kind of talked a little bit in the same breath about Anthony Wigan, the Lackawanna College JUCO transfer from a year ago who needed a year before he was ready to play. I mean, I think the thing with Wigan is that, you know, a guy like that who you bring in, you're expecting that he's going to be ready to go pretty much from the jump. He wasn't. He had to put some weight on. So is he going to be in the mix? We'll have to wait and see. But I just don't think there's any doubt that Caden Wallace will be ready to go, will be a guy that they use this year, whether he's a starter, whether he works his way into a starting role. You know, I know I said a few minutes ago that I don't know if Phil Troutwine wants to play more than five guys, but how do you keep Caden Wallace off the field? That's going to be the question that they're going to have to really sit down and consider. Is it by placing him ahead of a current first teamer, again, maybe Will Fries, or do they decide to use him as a sixth option and rotate the tackle position like they did a year ago? It's going to be interesting to see, but the fact that Wallace can play guard and tackle, they have him listed as a tackle right now. He was recruited as a guard. That versatility has certainly not gone away. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him and when, again, once they are able to get him back on and everybody else back on campus.
And towards that end, you know, the player that I think most people felt was most vulnerable in the starting positions was Will Fries at right tackle. And would Caden Wallace or Dez Holmes be a threat to him? His comments about Will Fries, and again, reading the tea leaves a little bit, trying to read between the lines, he seemed to be a pretty big supporter of Will Fries.
Yeah, he did. And of course, you mean, again, to go back to what you said with reading between the lines and kind of a little bit of a grain of salt and things like that, it's almost like, well, what else would he have said? You know, I don't think he's going to sit there. And even if he thinks Will Fries isn't the answer, he's not going to declare that in the middle of or at the end of April, I guess it is now. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch. Obviously, Fries comes back. He's experienced. He's played a lot of football. But again, they've recruited that position well. And the name of the game when they do that is all about recruiting and pushing guys forward for competition. And so I think that's going to be one big question to answer. It's not the only position where that's going to take place. But, you know, again, Caden Wallace and Dez Holmes are guys who are pushing forward. And until we know whether Phil Troutwine wants to expand upon the starting lineup or not and rotate guys in a game, it's going to be hard to really get a defined answer on what they think is going to be the best option. For Will Fries, for Caden Wallace, for Dez Holmes. But I do think that, again, the competition there is going to be fascinating. And, you know, he did say a lot of good things about Will Fries. I was just trying to find it in the transcript here, and I'm not able to. But, you know, he was very complimentary of him. Of course, he was to the rest of the group, too. So I think, again, you take it for what it's worth, and we'll see how things play out.
I was curious going into this, perhaps even most curious, to hear what he would have to say about Juice Scruggs. Now, on the depth chart, he was listed as number two at center. Did you get the feeling that Juice Scruggs was 100% and was going to be a significant factor in the two deep?
So, you know, and our colleague here, Bob Flanders, asked that question. The thing with Juice, of course, is that most will remember he was in some kind of an accident, according to James Franklin, last year, and that caused him to have to sit out. Now, we had seen him at some events late last year and so far this year. And so, you know, to me, you know, I look back over that quote and just look at what Phil Troutwine had said, Jim, and it's hard to read it any other way as they're expecting Juice Scruggs to be able to help them this year if he's able to win a job. So don't get me wrong. I'm sure they'll slowly phase him back in, and I'm sure he'll be behind some of the veterans and even some of the younger guys in the program just simply because of how much time he missed and how serious that injury was. But there's, you know, we talked recently about how Theo Johnson was maybe one of the players who benefited from no spring practice because he was injured and maybe wasn't going to be full go in spring practice. Now he doesn't have to worry about being behind guys. I would think the same concept applies to Juice Scruggs, which should help him be in that conversation for maybe the backup center job, maybe a backup guard job. He certainly seems like a guy that is closer maybe to reaching the full potential and full hope that they had for him than maybe expected.
Okay. Now, in the conversation about anyone who wasn't listed number one in the depth chart, the common theme was, well, he could play multiple positions. So that seemed to be a common theme. But one that stuck out to me a little bit, and maybe this has come up previously in conversation, he talked about Mike Miranda, and he talked about him being at center during spring if spring practice had taken place. Is that something new?
I don't think so. I think they were cross training Miranda all along. I mean, we saw him take some snaps at center last year when Michael Bennett was banged up. And we know that spring practice, a lot of the times they will let some of those veteran guys who have been through this stuff before kind of, I don't want to say take a break, but they'll have them rest up. They'll have them not go full board. They'll get some younger guys more experience. And I think Mike Miranda was certainly in that conversation as a guy who could have got more time during spring practice with the first team, with the starters. And I think he's a guy that if Michael Bennett would unfortunately be hurt, or if you had a guard situation where a lot of things went wrong and you had to maybe mix up your offensive line, I think, and move, you know, Bennett to a guard spot, I think that Miranda then would be your obvious backup candidate at center. So it certainly makes sense to me. Obviously, they want him to be the starting guard, but you also have to prepare for what the future holds. And by getting him, again, in a hypothetical world with a spring practice, if you've had Bennett sit out and you move Miranda to the center, you not only would get him the training there, you would also be able to get some of those other backup guards, like a Drew Scruggs, perhaps some more work with the first team and get some familiarity there. So I think if they had a spring practice, it really would have worked out nicely. Unfortunately, of course, they're not going to have that luxury.
Two of the guys that are listed as starters, and we certainly expect that to carry through to the fall, are C.J. Thorpe and Rasheed Walker. He seemed to be very complimentary of Rasheed Walker. Same thing with C.J. Thorpe. What did you take away from his comments on those two players?
Yeah, I mean, Rasheed Walker, you know, is obviously a guy, to me, he's kind of the linchpin of it all. And I know you can make the argument that Michael Bennett as a veteran is that player, or that Will Fries as a veteran has to be that player. But to me, the best teams in the country that have the best offensive lines also have the best left tackles. And so the key will be to see how he develops, and can he hold up against the, you know, can he hold up on his own against the best defensive ends in the country? You know, will he need help with a guy like Chase Young, who obviously isn't in college anymore, but Ohio State has some pretty darn good ends behind him. So will he need help with those guys, or has he developed to the point where he can handle them one-on-one without help? That's the kind of player Penn State needs. And so to me, I think that they have to, you know, they have to expect that of him. He has to want to play that way, and Phil Troutwine has to coach him up to be able to play that way. So then when you look at C.J. Thorpe, of course, he's a guy who we saw a good amount of last year. And the thing with him is always going to be, you know, can he control, you know, he has the, James Franklin talks a lot about wanting that nastiness from an offensive lineman, and C.J. Thorpe embodies it. I mean, he has more of it than anybody else. Sometimes it's a detriment. He gets a little bit too far down that line and has caused some penalties in the past. But if he can harness that, he has a chance too to be really among the Big Ten's best guards, I think, and especially if he improves in the pass game. So you put all those things together. Phil Troutwine, obviously very complimentary of him too. But I think the overarching point with Phil is until he can get these guys on the field and coach them the way he wants to coach them, it's going to be hard to take everything that he says about evaluating them and the skill set and all of that with, you know, as fact, complete fact, just because we know he wants to mix up some of the things that Penn State's done in the past.
All right, that's it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're going to talk recruiting with Greg Pickle.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.